Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? The good Lord willing, we'll have another Bible Reader's Banquet. And in between now and then, the Lord will reward you for reading the Bible. And then one day, maybe a big ribbon. Maybe one day. I've been reminded we haven't had memory verses for a while. Let's see if we can crank one up here, get one started. I was also recommended a verse. I like that. How about Psalm 51:10? That's what was recommended to me. Psalm 51:10, it starts off, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." If we can learn that much today, we'll be doing pretty good. Maybe we'll add to it later. Let's try that together. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Again, Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Again, Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Now, I need this verse probably more than anyone. I went to a ball game, so I need a lot of help. Let's try it again. You can help me out here. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Again, Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." One more time, Psalm 51:10. Amen.
Still remains. Where He comes.
Yes, amen. Now, I wasn't kidding about the ball game. And I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about Brother Rick. I done watched my group play, and I was still sitting there waiting for the next game or something. I didn't know. I wasn't neither team. I wasn't involved. I was just waiting for the kids to get out of the dressing room or something. And the guy beside me said, "Who we're rooting for?" I said, "This team up here." He said, "Why?" "Cause I like to see this team down here get beat." Well, that's terrible. That's wicked. That's as unchristian as anything that could happen. And that's Brother Rick's been lowered in a snake's belly for 2 or 3 days because of that. That ain't right. I mean, I didn't know anybody was on the floor, but I know several people in the church they represented that's good friends of mine. If they heard me say that, that'd be bad. God heard me say it. That's terrible. It's terrible. So, Day Shift Dawn, we're so glad you're here. Would you pray for me? That there is like 5,500 copies of the true Greek Bible, if you remember that. And that's what they had to work with. And they worked with that for 7 years. We talked about that. And if you remember, the versions, the corrupt versions, I'm going to be comparing these as we go, they had 300. They were, when we had the map up here, they were underneath the Mediterranean from Sinaiticus, Mount Sinai, to Alexandria, up to Rome. That's underneath. They had 300 corrupt copies that really didn't match, but they used and made more mistakes in them to get their doctrine that they wanted. It's what happened a little later. We haven't got there yet, but that's not what happened to us. That's not what happened. Our people started in Jerusalem over here. They went up to Antioch, curved around. The Bibles came around on their mission trips from Antioch, and they left copies of Bibles all across northern Europe, even as far as Spain, Europe, Italy, France, Greece. And there was 5,500. Now, there wasn't always a whole Bible. It wasn't always a New Testament. Sometimes it was 1 John. Sometimes it might be Isaiah that they had. But there was 5,500 copies of something that these men used. And we said there was 50. They started with 54 men. Some died. Some retired. They ended up with 47, I think it was. And we read some of those names. And they're on your handout, I think, if we got the right handout handed out. And we stopped in the middle of some of those names, thought we'd take up there again. Dear Lord, again, I pray you'd help us today. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I'll go ahead and let you know that English is my second language. We're talking about some of these guys know a lot of languages. Like this guy right here, Lancelot Andrews. He spoke Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Chaldee, Syrian, Arabic, and 15 other languages. What he would do on vacation, his summer vacation every year from school, he would learn a new language. Pretty good. He could have been, they called him the interpreter general of the Tower of Babel. His biographer said he prayed 5 hours a day. Now we're going to do a contrast again from these 1611 translators and the 1850s later on. We'll see there was a difference. He walked 30 miles home every year. That's just from here to my house and back. It's not bad you do it twice a year. William Barlow, he said, sit down in the lowest room. Really, that was the attitude of the whole committee, of all 47 of them or 54 of them. Let's look at that, see where he got that, Luke 14:10. It'll help Brother Rick out again when he goes to the next ball game. Luke 14:10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Be a good attitude for Brother Rick. John Overall, a Latin scholar and a soul winner. Henry Saville tutored Queen Elizabeth in Greek and math. Hadrian Savara had skill in Hebrew unsurpassed. Lawrence Chatterton was well conversant in Greek, Latin, Spanish, French, Italian. How you doing? I'm not doing very good. I don't think I know anything. He was a doctor of divinity, modest, excellent preacher, once for 2 hours preacher. I believe you could do that. I believe you could do three. No problem. He wanted his servants saved, so he told them no work on Sunday. It'd go a long ways, wouldn't it? It'd go a long ways. If I was a servant, I would seriously consider that. John Reynolds entered college at age 13. See, I think I was in seventh grade then.
Yeah, think about that.
Lecturer in Greek, a converted Catholic with a love for his lost people. Now, I would like to go ahead and concur with him right now. I'm saying some things as we go along about the Catholic Church, but it's history. I have nothing against anyone. Matter of fact, I have 10 people that's Catholic. And I, too, want to see them saved. And I got some Methodist kin people. I want to see them get saved too. His memory was a little less than a miracle. Mine too. He's most excellent in all tongues. He could speak all languages. John Spencer lectured Greek at age 19. Francis Dillingham debated entirely in Greek. We're talking about those that worked on the King James Bible in 1611. And it was a work. They did not get any new revelation. They only translated what they had and were diligent at their job to go from Greek to English is all they did. Thomas Harrison was an examiner of would-be professors of Hebrew and Greek at Cambridge. If you applied for a job to teach at Cambridge University, Thomas Harris examined you to see if you knew what you were doing. He worked on the King James Bible, translating it from Greek to English. The 1611 translators were nursed by the martyrs of Bloody Mary and Henry VIII. Probably their parents died for what they're doing right here. Probably. Their parents hid bodies and Bibles from the Pope's henchmen. Many times the multiple languages saved their lives when they were being hunted. If you were being hunted in England and you ran over to Spain, I don't guess they had wanted posters. They didn't have your picture. They didn't have I guess they had a printing press. But if they were over there looking for you, you're at the marketplace and you could talk Spanish just like everyone else, they would not suspect you. And many times these different languages saved their lives when they were running and being hunted. The translators, these translators never saw a commercial. Right. You know how we'll see a little jingle and sing that tune all day long about Pepsodent or something like that? Or Andy Griffin saying, that Folgers coffee is good or something like that. They never wasted 30 minutes watching the Mayberry like Brother Rick has. They had no devices, no phones. Everything I've ever heard about bad on the internet is true. Everything the preacher said, everybody else, all the wickedness on the internet, it's all true. But on top of that, I'm going to go ahead and say a device or a phone is a great time waster if all you look up is clean stuff. If all I'm doing is researching on their John Deere tractors, I can waste a lot of time looking at John Deere tractors, is all I'm saying. They studied and read is what they did. Now, this work was open to any man throughout the kingdom. And again, I've let this slip before. I want you to know when we get to 1850, that's going to change. Things were done in secret when the translation work was done for the modern versions. A lot of the work was done behind locked doors and in secret. Not here. The work was open to any man. If you and I were walking through, we are allowed to go in and watch. And by the way, they had rules for translation. And we could check these out and see if they're doing it. And I don't have the list of rules with me. I have had them. I might find them here one day soon and bring them. But in 1850, they didn't follow the rules. And anyone could come in and check. Everything was open. In 1604, they divided into six groups. Three different towns, two groups in Westminster, these are towns in England, two groups in Cambridge, two groups at Oxford. And they divided up the scriptures, and each group ended up with 1/6 of the Bible. See, the New Testament is about 1/3. If you cut the Old Testament in half, there's your 3/3. And then they would half that. And then they would work on their 1/6 and then trade with whoever's with them. And then after maybe a year or two of doing that, they would trade with the towns and trade around until everyone, well, let me read it, what I got. They traded doing it again for 6 years. And then after 6 years of doing that, one final group checked each word again. Each and every word was reviewed 14 times. Unlike any translation before or since. See, Wycliffe had a good translation, but it was the work of one man. And he knew that, and others knew that. That's why they wanted this. And my problem, the reason we have proofreaders, if I write it out and miss a comma, I get Sister Sherry back there to read it because she's a school teacher, works in the school system, and she'll catch that. I won't catch my own mistakes. But they backed each other up. In agreement. Let's look at it in Hebrews 12:2. Here's what it ended up happening. I think I meant to put Romans 12:2. No, this is it. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Jesus is the author of this book right here. This book's a miracle that it happened, the way it happened. The way it happened is many miracles. Now let's look again. I meant to start off with Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Now don't forget this took 7 years.
Right.
Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. That's the words. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, I used to say they traded those passages around every 2 years. But I just read recently two different places I read that really it didn't work out like that. The first 2 years they prayed and had periods of fasting. So they'd end up trading it around about 18 months, something like that. Now, let's see, back to in the 1536, I think it was. I'm not real sure. There's another group came out of the Catholic Church. It's the Church of England. And they came out for different reasons than I'm calling our people. The people we've been talking about for weeks now came out. They came out for political reasons. The Church of England came out of the Catholic Church for political reasons. The king wanted to be the head of the church instead of the pope. And one reason is he wanted a divorce. And so the Church of England came out. Now, out of that Church of England also came, we've been talking a little bit about Anglicans, and I wanted to come in here and give you a little definition on Anglicans because that's going to fit in with those 300 manuscripts down in Mount Sinai and in Egypt even. And so Also out of the Church of England came the Lutheran, and the Anglicans, so in certain countries, they're called Episcopals. In America, they're called that sometimes. And I read there, Google said the Presbyterians also came out of this Church of England. And they believed the 39 articles. I had trouble finding what that was. My computer would shut down every time I'd try to find them, but I never could figure that out. But they believe in Reformed theology, Westminster standards. I'm not real sure what that is. Not real sure what they believe, to tell you the truth, but it's almost Catholic. We'll see some things here. They say the 66 books are the supreme authority. They have three creeds, Book of Common Prayer, 39 articles of religion, and the Book of Homilies, which is a collection of sermons. We're talking about what the Anglicans believe. They have three offices, bishops, priests, and deacons. That priest is a carryover from the Old Testament. They have sacraments. Now, we're getting ready to have baptism. That's not a sacrament. That's an ordinance. The real church has two ordinances, baptism and communion, but they don't call it that. Now, a sacrament, that adds to or helps, aids in your salvation. It's why it's not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. If you never get baptized, if you never take communion, you're just as saved as you were the day you got saved. It has nothing to do with salvation. But they don't believe that. They call them sacraments. Matter of fact, they call it holy baptism. And they say that baptism, which we're going to have one here in a little bit, they say it's starts or does regeneration. Makes you alive again. Well, that's not what's going to happen here. No, this is just a testimony. And that's what I'm talking about, what Anglicans believe. They don't call it communion. They call it Holy Communion. Matter of fact, they believe when you take Holy Communion, you're actually transported into heaven and you are partaking of Jesus' body and blood. We don't believe that. We believe it's an ordinance, not a sacrament. They believe in five more sacraments: confirmation, penance. We believe in repentance. Penance is trying to do a bunch of good so it'll cover up your bad. We don't believe that. That's what Anglicans believe. They believe in ordination. They believe in matrimony. We believe in matrimony. Isn't that fun? We matched up there somewhere. And they believe in unction of the sick. Anglicans have a cafeteria-style religion. You can pick and choose what you believe. And they don't care if it matches up with the authoritative documents, is what I read. Now, that's Google. Anglicanism is a way of being a Christian. That's not true. That's what they say. There's one way, that's Jesus. It's not the Baptist way, it's not the Methodist way, it's not the Anglican way, it's not the Catholic way. Hey, guess what? They do read through the Bible on a scheduled plan. Pretty good. Anyway, those are fun facts to know and tell. Might not mean a thing. Let's go back to Revelation 3. And again, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Then verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Two times, red letters, the counselor commends them for keeping his word. Remind me which word they kept. Which one? There ain't but one. What's it called today?
It's the Bible.
That's correct. The Holy Bible. And by the way, this is right after 1611. It's the King James Bible. You're right, preacher. It's the Bible. It's the only Bible. We'll get into the versions later. But they got commended because they kept it. They kept it. Now, I look up this word keep. And we've done this before. I hope it's been long enough. It's not boring to you. But, you know, many times in the dictionary, there's more than one definition. And the number one definition on keep is this. It's to hold. Now, normally when we talk about like keeping the commandments or keep, we're talking about obedience. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm terrible at obedience. I fail every day at obedience. But I finally figured out one day, you know, I can do this. I can do this. I can. The Lord will help me. They can pry it from my dead cold fingers when they pry your 380 out. The number two definition is to have. Isn't it good to have one? The number three definition is to preserve or retain. Yeah. I came from Allen this morning, and I recommend that you hang on to it.
Yeah, amen.
That you retain it. Amen. Matter of fact, I would probably walk over here to recommend to you that you retain it. I highly recommend you retain it. I'm planning on retaining it.
Yeah.
The number four definition is to preserve from falling. Oh, it hurts when you drop it on the way to the car, don't it? It's raining and you run and you dropped it. To preserve from falling or from danger. To protect, to guard, to sustain, to hold it up. Maybe even that high. Number five, to hold, to restrain from departure. Number six, to tend, to care of, like the Lord put Adam and Eve in the garden and told them to dress it and to keep it. I'm planning on taking care of it.
Yeah, amen.
Number seven, to tend it like you would a flock, take care of your flock or your herd. Number eight is to preserve. The Lord preserved it, but He could let me preserve it for my family. And pass it down to my family, couldn't he? Number nine is to regard and to attend to. Let me ask you, have you been reading the Bible every day? Have you attended? Have I showed up every morning? Have I been attending? Number 10 is to keep in order. Number 11 is to continue, to keep reading. Have you read your Bible this week? To keep a given distance. How about that right there? See, I don't want to leave it over at the house and come over here.
Right.
That's too far. Right. That's too much of a given distance. I don't want to get 15 miles away. I really don't like leaving it on the coffee table and going up in the back field, really. I like to keep a given distance. How about this? Is that far enough? Arm's length? That'd be pretty good distance. Let's keep it at a given distance. Now, I'm not kicking obedience. Number 12 for everyone that likes to obey. I'm for obeying. I'm not in no way kicking obeying.
Sure.
I'm for obeying. But it's number 12. It says to practice, to do, to perform, and to obey. Brother Rick, you need to practice it. And do it, and perform it, and obey it. Okay, Lord. Okay. Okay. Number 13 goes right along with it, like we always thought. Keep the Ten Commandments. You're supposed to obey them. Number 13 is to perform. Brother Rick's supposed to perform. But I just got a question. How am I going to do it if I haven't kept it, if I don't know where it's at? If I have to go digging through a trunk somewhere to find it, how am I going to keep? How am I going to perform if I don't even know what it says? Number 14 says, use habitually. The Philadelphian church got commended from the counselor in red letters because they kept it. Number 14 definition for keep means to use habitually. You know, like you would a 9/16 or a weed eater. Number 15 is to copy carefully. I believe these men we read the list off of, I believe that's what they did.
Yeah,
is my point that I'm trying to get across. I believe these were honest men. I believe God used them, and they copied it carefully. It's what I think happened in 1611. Number 18 is to have in the house. to have in the house. That's a pretty good deal. You know, I've told this before, but a couple of times we've been on visitation and we just needed a book for something to hold a door open or prop something up. And I've been in two different homes that told me, said, we don't have any books. They didn't have any bad books. They didn't have any good books. They didn't have any books. I guess they had that thing, you know.
Right.
Surely they had that, didn't they? No books. No books. It just kind of knocked me down there. To have in the house. If you got one in the house, it'd be a good place to say amen. To keep, watch, or guard. That's number 19. Number 20, to hold in one's own bosom.
Yeah.
Now, the Philadelphian church, the counselor wrote to them and commended them in red letters for keeping it. And one of the definitions for keeping it is to hold into one's own bosom.
Yeah.
And Brother Rick, I know he's not wrapped too tight, but I think I can do that. I think I can do it. Now, this changes over, you know, this keep here. It went from transitive verbs to intransitive verbs or something. We're starting on new numbers now. Number 3 is to keep company with. Yeah. And under this new list. Pretty good, isn't it, Caleb, to keep company with it? Pretty good company.
Yeah, it is.
Let youth keep company with the wise and the good. Then it says to accompany, to go with, as to keep company with one on a journey or a voyage. You know, we're on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place. We're on a journey to a holy place.
Yeah.
It's going to be real good if this map here accompanies me all along the way. That's what it said in the dictionary. To prevent from escape. To hold in confinement. They were commended for keeping the Word of God. That's what they were commended for. And by the way, there was no condemnation on that church.
Right.
To keep up. I've thought about using a little saddle soap or something on some time. I never have. I've read that there's an oil in the palm of the hand that is made perfect for preserving leather. I read that. It says to keep up, to prevent from falling or diminution. Diminishing. No diminishing. To maintain. To continue. To hinder from ceasing. To remain in the house. To remain in any state. To me that means don't add any words. Don't minus any words. Don't substitute any words. To remain in the state it is, to keep near, to keep in favor. Are you for it or against it?
Yes, I'm for it.
Brother Paul would ask people, he said, are you for COVID or against it? Let me ask you, are you for it or against it? It says to last, to endure, not to perish or to be impaired, to lodge, to dwell. Hey, we started lodging Psalm 51:10. We started lodging today. We might finish next week. We might not. Be good if it lodged in there, wouldn't it? Brother Rick might not be kicking that other team if he'd get it lodged in there. To lodge, to dwell, to reside for a time. To keep to adhere strictly. Not to neglect or deviate. To keep to one's word or promise, to keep on, to go forward, to proceed, to continue, to advance. The Philadelphian church got two rewards. It's for doing this, what we're reading. To keep up, to remain unsubdued, to continue, to repeat continually. Custody, to have custody of. That's mine, Brother Ted. To guard, as in good keep. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. God in heaven, help me to do my part. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.